Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you.
Thank you. Salvation, he rose and conquered. Hallelujah.
Jesus, Jesus, that's what we call you. That's what we call you. You are the living word. We're going to be talking this morning, not too long, because I have to run to the store, the Lord said to see him to get one of these computers service. And we're going to put this word on the computer in the name of Jesus. We thank God for this day, for truly this is the day that the Lord has made, and we are rejoicing, and we are glad God has allowed us to be in his presence one more day. One more day. Hallelujah, Jesus. You know, it's so good to be in the presence of the Lord. Glory to God. We don't want to be no other place but here in his presence. So let us pray. Father God, we thank you and praise you, O God, for your presence. We thank you for your anointing. Lord, we thank you for your mercy and for your grace, O God, that you bestowed upon us, that we could come and bow down before you and say, Lord, how wonderful you are, how merciful you are, how full of love and compassion you are. God, there's no other God like you. You're the one that sit high and see, Lord, you're the one that surpasses all other entities, Lord. God, you are the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. Lord, you're the one that heals, you're the one that delivers, and you're the one that restores. Lord, this morning we lift up Prophetess Apostle Millie's sister before you this morning. And God, we ask for healing. God, she's in the hospital. And Lord, we don't know how bad it is, but God, you know. You know what the doctors are saying, but you are the King of all doctors. You are the sovereign physician. We ask, God, that today that you would touch her. Move in by your spirit, O God, because you said you are a spirit, O God. And Lord, we ask that you would move in and touch her body right now. Touch her, and Lord, I ask that you would dry that cancer cell up, out the roots of that cancer, Lord. Dry it up. And Lord, even the medication that they're giving her that is just killing the bad cells, Lord, just cause that medication to just flow right over her body. Lord, you do what needs to be done. And Father, as you do this, God, we are content. And give Prophetess Apostle Millie the strength she needs to stand by her sister. Lord, we pray that you watch over Apostle Linda Washington, Bishop James Washington, wherever they are, their visit or appointment, Lord. Lord, keep them safe. And Father, we ask that you touch my eyes, my ears, and my lips so clear. Allow me to see in the spirit and hear in the spirit what you are saying to me through this word that you gave me on last night to release right now in the atmosphere and in the hearts and minds of the people that would listen and those that would gravitate to your word and ask you to fill their hearts with this word. In Jesus' holy name we pray. This morning I'm talking about as the world turns, the judgment of God gets closer. And we want to start in Jeremiah chapter 17. I had verse 1 to 6, but we'll see how much of this. We might do the whole chapter, see how much of this that the Lord allow us to release today. Okay? Let's see how much of this he allow us to release today. In this book of Jeremiah, you know, Jeremiah is known as the weeping prophet. He felt the pain of the people. And he delivered the message to God, that God, to the people that God has given to him. He talked to God about what the people say, and he talked to the people about what God say. But here in this text, he is talking about Judah and Jerusalem. At this point in time, Judah and Jerusalem was considered two nations. And they were always bickering or fussing with each other and fussing with the world, like we do. We fuss with all our neighbors. You know, we do as a people. We fuss with everybody. We fuss about everything. So here in this text here, in the book of Jeremiah, chapter 17, and the text leads us to where we want to go, because at this particular time, there's so much stuff going on in Jerusalem and Israel that God had to send a prophet, a man of God, a servant, to talk to them. Hallelujah. And how many of you know that from time to time, God will send someone to talk to us because we become senile to the things of God. Hallelujah. So God will send someone to talk to us We become difficult, or we are concerned of doing things our own way. You ever heard people say sometimes, it's my way or the highway? Well, God would send a prophet, a pastor, teacher, evangelist, or apostle, someone to teach, to share with you all that is on his heart. And if you know, if you want to know, the word of God that we study from the 66 books is what's on God's heart. Hallelujah. He is not concerned about the discotheque and the roller coaster and all this stuff that people are concerned about. God is concerned about getting his word into our hearts so that we can be free from the holes of this world. You may say, well, the world don't have me. Well, if the world don't have you, how come that you're not going on and doing the things that God says? Well, because the world has you in control. You're doing two jobs. You're running two jobs, and you don't have not one day of the week. You don't have one day of the month to really spend time in fasting and praying or even having a conversation with God, because the world have you. We always say, well, me and my friends and I from Trinidad, we always say that people are always trying to keep up with the Joneses. You know, and I said they have a very nice home, very, very nice home. And I told them, I said, you know, they called me. I go do things for them, you know, and we help one each other in the ways that Lord allows us to help each other. And I always say, you know, one thing for me, I tell her and her husband, I say, you know, one thing about me is that I don't care how big a person car is, how fancy it is, how fancy the house is, how many clothes, how many suits, how many dresses, how many jewelry they have. That stuff don't move me. Because God has allowed me to experience a lot of that stuff before. And it doesn't move me now. What is moving me in this way that I'm traveling, that I have a desire that I want to get more, want to know more about God, what God is expecting of me. And so what I find out to know these things is that I have to go into the Word. I can't depend on some television preacher. I can't depend on no preacher anywhere. I have to go into the Word for myself. And this is what Jeremiah is saying. Jeremiah is looking at Judah, and he's looking at Judah, Jerusalem. He's looking at both of these people, you know. And as I said, these were considered two nations, and they were separate. And you call them brother and sister, or cousins, however you want to call them. But they would find themselves fighting against each other. And they say they're worshiping, serving the same God. And then they begin worshiping other gods, idolatry, getting into idolatry, and all this stuff because, you know, they want their own way. But here in this text we're talking about in Jeremiah chapter 17, we got verse 1 to 6, but I'm going to go further because I was looking all through this book, and I'm going to also talk about the Sabbath. The Sabbath day, how important it is to God, on God's heart. And as I think about this, I find myself now saying to myself, you know, even though it's one of the good days that I get to work because there's not a lot of traffic on the highway and all that kind of stuff. You know, Boston is a messed up place with traffic, just like Washington, D.C. and New York City and some other major states. But Saturday is a good time to travel, to get around, to get to some of the homes and don't have to hustle with the traffic. But I'm going to have to make up my mind that I'm not going to work on Saturday, you know, and just spend the time with the Lord. Here in this text here, it says, the sin of Judah is written with an iron stylus. Now, as I look through this another book here, and it talked about this sin is so serious because the people has become so distant from God that God pens everything that they have done. That's why you know that God has all things that we are saying and doing. God has it done. It's written down. It's written down. So we can't go up there when we come before God, act like we were so perfect and we did everything and we didn't connive and act out of our character. Because God knows everything. He knows all. No one can fool him. This is why we have to get on board with what God is saying to us and what God expects from us. Here, God says to them, the sin of Judah is written with a pen of iron and with the point of a diamond. It is graven upon the table of their hearts and upon the horns of your altars. No. This God is saying, look, there's no way you can escape from it. because I have already allowed this thing to be in your heart. So I'm going to convict you, and I'm going to judge you of what is already in there. It's in you. You've committed this sin against me, and I'm going to point it out. I'm going to allow you to see it. It's going to be before your face. This is where we have to get to that place of repentance. The topic today is all the world, as the world turns, the judgment of God gets closer. As the world turns, you know the soap opera says, the God of soap opera says, as the world turns, you know. So I got that in my head, coming in my head last night, and the Lord says, the judgment of God gets closer. So we are getting wickeder, wiser and wickeder, and at the same time, God's judgment is getting closer. And God, I was watching a movie last night on YouTube called The Ark, and it was about this flood that's taking place all over the world. But mainly what the movie was focused on is the flood taking place in the United States of America. And they had all of these sophisticated arcs that they had built. You know, the saints had designed and all this stuff, and had this special kind of metal that they had made it, make the ark out, and they had these special turbine engine that would allow the ark to keep ahead of the water. In other words, that the water can pull the ark down. And they show you how man wants to think that he can outsmart God. But the ark, every state, it seems like every state had an ark. And people could only get in the ark because they had plans that how they even planned when the water was going to come, and when the water was going to come on the United States of America and over the world. And they was thinking, well, you know, we can build the ark, and we can build these special turbine engines. It's not going to need no gasoline. It's going to work. The same very water is going to use to propel or start these turbines. Then they start breaking down. But they were fixing the turbines. And family was thinking that they could get, even the senators and all these people that think they can get the family, they couldn't get to the place to get into the ark. So a lot of them was left behind. And as I was watching that, I said, wow. I was laying on the bed and I was watching. I said, we broke tired. I said, I'm going to sleep. I said, well, I ain't going to follow right behind you as soon as this movie, because I want to get the gist of the movie. And I said, Lord, this is how we as a people think that we can go out and we can do all the stuff that we're doing and we can outsmart God. And that we can be ahead of what God planned, ahead of God's plans. No, we can't ahead of God's plans. God's plan is God's plan. What we have to do is try to connect with God and honor what God is saying and what God is expecting of us, and then follow through. Be obedient to God's word. But either way, a lot of people died in that flood. A lot of people died. And I mean, people was running and driving the cars, and the highways was blocked up, and people trying to go over the bridge, and the water come and take them cars, bridges, and all. I mean, it was a whiz just to look at that. I would say to my mind, with this thing, even though God said he would not flood the earth again, but what we going to do when the fire come? What we going to do? Are we going to be ready? Judah's sin was written with an iron stylus. I read out of two different books. And the Bible says he's going to keep it on their horns. The horns represent the mind and the heart. So you can't get away from it. And mean, it's just like when we go and we say, well, I'm going to go there and I'm going to sex with somebody. I'm going to get high. I'm going to drink some liquor. But once we come down, you know, once we are having sex, we are fornicating, committing adultery, or getting drunk, we feel good. Oh, we feel good because this mind-altering substance that we're using, the sex is like a substance, and, you know, people are addicted to sex, and we are getting, we're feeling good. But as soon as we are finished drinking or having sex or doing whatever made us feel good for that couple of seconds or minute, then conviction step in. Conviction step in, the judgment of God comes in, and this is what's going to happen. This is what we're talking about this morning. So verse 2 says, where's the children remembered their altars and their groves by the green trees upon the high hills? Now the folk was having sex in the orchards. They were having sex and they was worshiping all types of statues they had set up. So right where they had sex, they had worship. It's a wicked generation. And God has convicted them and judged them for the wrong. He says, all my mountains in the field, I will give thy substance and all thy treasures to the spoil, and thy high places for sin throughout all thy borders. Now look at this. Because God has blessed us, God has made us rich, he's given us all that we need according to his riches and glory, but then we have turned away from him and turned to worshiping idols. We have become prostitutes, whores against God, whoring against God, worshiping other gods. And God now remove all his blessings, listen to the word, all his blessings that he has given to us, he has given to others. This is some mess, man. I was looking at this. I said, wow, this is powerful. He says, and thou even thyself shall discontinue from thy heritage. Listen, he's separating you from all that you should inherit. He's going to separate much of his people that has turned their backs from him, all that they have, was expecting to receive, they're not going to be able to have. Go separate them from the heritage. And I will cause thee to serve thy enemies in the land which thou knowest not. For ye have kindled a fire in my anger. Listen, when the folk continue to sin, it's like starting a fire in the heart of God. We know the truth, but we're not standing for the truth. We are falling for what the world has shown us. We are falling for the deception. We are falling for the lie. And God is speaking to us clearly. He says that it's burning his heart. It's like a fire in his heart. He gave his life for our life. And now what will we do? What do we give him in return? We don't have time to worship him. We don't have time to praise him. We're always too busy to fellowship with him, to spend time with him. Hallelujah. Now, the Bible says, for you have kindled a fire in my anger, which shall burn forever. Thus says the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in man. Don't put your trust in men. And men mean women and men. But we find ourselves, I trust the bishop. I trust the chief apostle. Oh, that evangelist is so powerful. I trust her. I trust him. Whatever they want, whatever they do. And then they put God on the back burner. They have more trust for the Bishop T.D. Jakes or Joel Osteen than they have for God. Joel Osteen said, no, God is not concerned about you living the lifestyle that you live in. God is just concerned with you paying your tithing and being in church. Come on and fellowship. As long as you are fellowshipping with one another, God is all right with that. He's not the kind of God that he's going to send you to hell. No, God ain't going to send you to hell. Your sin is going to take you to hell. He should tell you that. He should tell the people that. He tell the people, it's okay, as long as you are happy. As long as you are happy. And you have your mate, you're okay. Lying to them, and they say, well, that's why I like Joel Osteen, because he'll tell you what you want to know. He'll tell you what you want to know, not what you need to know. You know, that's how the devil tricks you. Tell you what you want to know, but not what you need to know. You need to know the truth. I don't want nobody telling me a lot, but Apostle, you can preach the gospel and you can do this and do this. You'll be all right. God is not mad. No, tell me the truth. If I do the things that are contrary to God's word, I'm going to go to hell. And there's no escape from it. The only escape from it is repentance and giving your heart truly to Jesus Christ. That's the only escape. There's no other way around it. You know, I just can't stand him. I don't care for her too much, you know. I don't love her, but you want to go to heaven. And you're going to be in the same prayer room if they're both in the same prayer room before the altar, and you're going to still have that stuff in your spirit. Your spirit, man. And you think you're going to be in heaven. The devil's a liar. If we can't fix it here, if we can't allow it to be fixed here, you can't take it to heaven. You can't go to heaven with you. You're not going to heaven. I'm not going to heaven hitting my brother or sister. I'm not going to heaven hitting anybody. But the folk will tell you that. It's all right. Just keep on. Here, he says, I'm talking about as the world turns, coming over to Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 1 to 6, and then we'll go a little further because we want to change it as we go on. And the Bible says, verse 5 says, thus says the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in man and maketh flesh his arm and whose heart departeth from the Lord. No, we trusting and depending on men so much that they become the strong tower for us. No, the Bible says our God is a strong tower. The name of our God is a strong tower. The righteous run into it and they are saved. So we ought to be putting all of our trust, even when the doctors and the scientists and all of them folk that making all these different diseases and our viruses and making us afraid that we can't even step out in the atmosphere, we have to trust the God that made us out of dust and breathe into us the breath of life. We got to trust him and say, no, I know that the virus is out there. I know that this is going on, but I believe in that God is going to protect me. I believe God is protecting me. He's protecting us. We got to speak like that. Well, we don't have no money. We don't have no job. But I believe that God is going to give us a job. I believe God is going to give us the money. I believe that God is going to do all that he said he's going to do for us. We got to have that. We can't wait till we get the tree. Now, I got some big tomatoes out there. And I remember when I got the romaine lettuce is about 14 or 16 inches tall. I told him, well, we're going to have to cut the romaine lettuce out. We're going to got to cut the lettuce out. We got ginger and we got celery and all the basil and all that stuff growing. I said, we're going to have to cut some of this stuff because we got a lot of rain and we got a lot of rain and stuff. I ain't got to thank for the rain because I ain't got to use my garden hose and pay that water bill. But the stuff is growing so fast. And I said, my wife, when I first got those plants and I decided to plant, make the garden bed and stuff, my wife said, well, you can't buy all this stuff and all these seeds and stuff and things. You got to try it a little bit and see if they come up. And then we can do something more next year. I said, no, honey, I'm believing that God's going to bring these things up because I don't want to keep going to the grocery store and buying that stuff from the grocery store. I got a lot of jars, a lot of these jelly jars, you know, and I got them clean. I got a lot of them. And I'm going to start cutting that stuff up and put them in the jars with a little bit of vinegar, you know, keep them so they can ferment and just, oh, my Lord. And now we got a big lot of stuff out there grown, big old tomatoes, I'm telling you. Oh, Lord, I tell you something. See, you got to trust in your hand and trust in the God that give you the hand to plant those things. So God's going to bring them up. But we start out doubting our own self, and then we end up doubting God. You end up doubting God because you don't trust him. No, watch here. I was listening to President Trump last night, and I'm telling you something. The people were trying to steal the money from us. Listen to me. They were trying to steal the money from this GCR, the Global Currency Reset. And now they say that we can get ready for any day now. I heard President Trump say that last night. So we know that God won't give it. Said that, no, here, back here, we're talking about, come on to Jeremiah chapter 17, and we're talking about as the world turns, the judgment of God gets closer. And I know God is speaking because if you go turn on your TV now and go to any news channel, you're going to see some trouble. You're going to see some trouble that happened this morning, some that just happened a few minutes ago, and you're going to see some trouble that happened last night. Last night. Because this is the Bible is unfolding itself like a passport wrap. We call that aluminum foil wrap. When you unfold it to wrap something up. Well, it's the Bible is unfolding itself so you can see everything that God has said before we were even into this world. Before we were in our mother's womb, God had this thing penned down by great men and women of God. I put this stuff down, penned this thing down for our learning. our understanding. And now it's coming to fruition. We can see it happening. He's sitting back playing church. He says, for he shall be like the heath in the desert and shall not listen to what he says. He's talking about verse 60. Thus said the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in man and make his flesh his arm. In other words, you're dependent on the flesh, on man or woman to be your deliverer, for your keeper, your shelter. He says, and it talks about, and whose heart departed from the Lord. They don't have no mind to serve God. Their trust is in what they can see and hear and touch. That's where the trust is. And it says, for he shall be like the heath in the desert. This is talking about a plant, like a juniper plant, that the roots does not really go deep down. Down far enough to soak up water. You know, like some Christians, they're in the church building on Sunday morning. They're there on Wednesday night. They're there on Saturday morning, on Friday night. Whenever the building door opens, the church building door, because we are the church. But they'll go there because they want the bishop or the pastor or the evangelist or teacher to see them at the building. Think, because they're trusting in man. Man said, well, she's always at the church. He's always, every time the door opens, he's at the building. But where's your heart? God is saying, where's your heart? Is your heart with God or your heart and mind with man? And he says, you're just like this tree. Your roots don't go deep down enough to touch God's heart. We're not so hungry and thirsty for righteousness that he can fill us. We're like this juniper tree in the desert. He says, I shall not see the good cometh, but shall inherit the parched places in the wilderness, in a salt land, and not that is not inhabited. Isn't that like us? We find ourselves stranded because we are going after these natural things and finding out that the natural things that we are going after is not doing us any good. They're not doing us any good. I watched this guy had a Mercedes-Benz, $160,000 Mercedes-Benz. And there was one little part was stopping that car from running. He got so mad, nobody could figure what's going on with that car, that he jumped the car. He jumped the car. And this guy, that he is a used car dealer. He bought the car for $75,000. He said, well, it's a bargain. What can I lose? I'm getting this car, $160,000 car that's not that very old. It didn't even lose a shine. And I'm paying $75,000 for it. And so I got all the time in the world to go through this car and find this, what the problem is. Find out that when he figured the car out, he took the car down and went through, with all these gadgets. It cost $100 to fix that car. $100. I said, wow. But you know what? You know, you say, man, where can $100 to fix the car? But the big thing is that the car sold for $75,000 cash. You couldn't take out a loan for it. You gotta get this cash for this car. You could take out the loan for it, but you still gotta pay it back. You gotta be able to have the credit, the credit ready enough to get that money from the bank. Well, the man had the money. He paid for the car. And the car was running in the skies of V12. You know, a lot of power underneath that hood. $100 to fix it. How much like us, we just got all we need to fix us is Jesus. Just one man that went on the cross and laid down his life and gave his life, shed his blood. One man. And all we need to do is repent and ask him into our heart and turn from our sinful lifestyle, and we'll have the right to the tree of life. We can't even do that. Because why? The world system have us in a box. Listen to me. The world system have us in a box and tell us if we do this and do that, we're going to have all this stuff. We're going to be able to enjoy all this stuff. We can go this place and go that place. You know, people say, well, I can't wait to go to see the Eiffel Tower. Oh, I just want to go to Italy. I just want to go to Rome. I just want to go to Hawaii. I want to go to the Caribbean. If there's one thing I want to do before I die, I want to go to Hawaii. I want to go to Africa. I want to go to India. I mean, all these things they have. You don't hear nobody say there's one thing I want to do before I die, that I want to have a real, true relationship with Jesus Christ. You don't hear people saying that stuff. What is your what you call the stuff you do New Year's Day? You say All Year's Night. You say we make a resolution for New Year. New Year, I want to do this. I want to lose weight. I want to do this. I want to get my house fixed up. I want all this stuff. Nobody saying, well, this year, the new year, I really want to be close to God. I really want to be able to spend more time with God. I want God to speak to me so clear that I could hear his voice. I could feel his breath on my neck. Nobody don't think about that stuff. God, I don't want to be sinning anymore. I don't want to be indulging with people that don't want to get close to you. Keep me away from them, God. I don't want them that are going to distract me and take me away from you, Lord. You don't make those kinds of resolutions. Because we're getting fat, losing weight, getting a new set of false teeth with some gold plates, plated false teeth, all this kind of stuff we talk about. Stuff that's going to look good to the world. What about Jesus? Here, let's go to the Father. Verse 7. This blessedness in trusting in the Lord. See, even in the midst of all that, as the world turns, what we as Christians need to do is that we need to totally, without equivocation, trust in the Lord. Come on. We need to trust in him with everything that's within us. Hear what I'm telling you. I mean, the television news, the radio, the internet system, all the branches of divisions of the internet. You got Twitter, you got Periscope, you got Instagram, you got Facebook, you got all these different things. Many more that I call. You know, Zoom and all this stuff that's going on. Facebook Live and all the different things. They got some other ones. I got some on my YouTube page. And I tell you, we put all our trust in that stuff. And we hear them people telling us that this is happening and this is going to happen. And all this stuff is programmed to bring a control the population. And so many millions of people more have to die. Because they're claiming that we're running out of food, that we're not going to have enough food in the earth to feed the people. But God made this world, and as far as I know from Genesis, that he gave us all he provided everything that the earth will need, that mankind would need to survive. The only thing that mankind is not trying to do to survive is to get closer to Jesus. We're moving further and further away from the Spirit of God that he breathed into man. We're moving further and further away from him, so we're dying more and more. We're just losing out. And as I was hearing the Lord say last night, I said, look, this is what he told me. He said, look, this is what he told me. There will be great change. There will be a great change in the earth. This is what he told me when I was filling this thing up. There will be great changes in the earth. Deaths, natural deaths from all different diseases and people just dropping down dead. A lot of deaths. And then he says, the abusive behaviors will get worse. That means people will be raped, they will be sodomizing, all of this stuff will going to get worse. Oh, it's going to get worse. And he says there will be more murders. More murders. God said this will happen. And he says, and people are going to steal more. It's going to be more thefts going to take place as the world continues. Because why? We are changing into a satanic fulfillment. But guess what? Because Satan wants to get his game out there. And what happens? As he turns up his deception, guess what happens? God is turning up the truth. God is turning up the truth so the world can know that he is the living true God. That he's not dead. And what we as Christians must do is that we got to preach the true gospel, start watering down the gospel and trying to make people happy because we're trying to make brother and sister and everybody happy because we feel that if we don't make them happy, they're not going to give us any money. They're not going to pay no tithe, don't give no offering. Is talents used for is carving wood, metal or stone. Such engravings were meant to be permanent. Unlike writing on scrolls using ink, they were not easily changed, removed, or damaged. The metaphor thus emphasized the sovereignty of Judah. God had this thing written down. He has taken everything that they were doing as sin. He's seen it. This section continued the theme of divine judgment from the previous chapter, chapter 15. And we go back to chapter 16. Here in chapter 16, verse 13, look at this. Therefore, will I cast you out of this land into a land that you know not, neither ye nor your fathers. And there shall you serve other gods day and night, where I will not show you favor. See, when we decide to walk contrary to God, God leaves us alone to our own deception, to our own demise, to our own downfall. This is what God does. It's not, God don't want to do it, but he don't have a choice. He don't have a choice because he gave us a choice. He gave mankind a choice, but what does mankind do? Mankind wants to do things that are contrary to God. All of us, we want to do what makes us feel good. You know, Mama says, boy, don't touch that stove. I remember when I was a little fella, my Mama said, don't, when you go in the kitchen, make sure you don't touch the oven because I'm baking. I'm baking the chicken. I'm baking a leg of beef or something. You know, she got something there baking anyway. You understand what I'm saying? And I said, I'm a little fella. Don't know two and two. But I go in the kitchen. And yes, I could smell the food and just the fragrance of the spices coming out through the oven door. And guess what I'm going to do? I'm going to go there and rest my forearm on my palm or the back of my hand on that oven. And then my mama in the front room, she can hear me screaming. I'm a little lad. And she runs out there, and I'm going to get hit again too. You know, I think mama going to come and put some butter, some hot butter on. Put some butter or some cold water. No, she go, I'm going to get smacked with that fish because she told me, don't put my hand on that oven. Don't touch the oven because if I touch the oven, I'm going to get burned. No, she's sympathetic with me, but she going to smack me because she's trying to get her point across. God loves us enough to smack us when we do it wrong. He's not going to come and give you a pacifier. We expect that God is so loving, and he is. That when we do it wrong, he will come and give us pacifiers and say, okay, son, it's okay. You went out there and just committed adultery or you fornicated. You were just stealing. You just raped that girl. You sodomized that little kid. And all, it's all right. No, God is not like that. He's not going to agreement with sin. So how are you here, Oprah Winfrey and T.D. Jakes and Joe Osteen getting on TV and talking that dumb stuff? Don't you believe them. He's not like that. He's not going to be in agreement with sin. Sin will take you to hell. Hear what I'm telling you. If you continue in sin and don't repent and give God your heart and say, Lord, take my heart, mind, body, and soul, you will go to hell. You will go. God ain't going to send you to hell. Your sin will take you to hell. When we say sin will take you where you don't want to go, take you farther than you want to go, it will keep you longer than you want to stay, and it will cost you more than you want to, you need to pay. Sin will do that. What will sin cost you? It will cost you your soul. Your soul. Our soul, my soul, your soul, sin will do that. But we'll get so and we get across, you know, people get up and say, I'm going to heaven. I'm going to heaven. I'm going to heaven. I know I'm going to heaven. But the only way I can say I'm going to heaven is if I'm following this book here. Not just reading it, not just studying it, but living this book. If I'm living this book, I can say to myself that I'm going to heaven. Yeah, you know the scriptures from Genesis and Revelation, but if you're not living them, you got preaching this thing with fire. I've been to church over here with a bishop, and a bishop preaching go underneath the table. And I mean, go underneath the table, apostle. Go underneath the table. He laying underneath the table. I was laughing. I said, what are you doing laying underneath the table? All these antics to make people think that he's a super preacher. But we already know he's a good preacher. But he's not living the word. When he comes up from underneath that table, he goes out there and living a promiscuous lifestyle, homosexual and all that kind of stuff. And people knew. But people will come to the church just because he preached well and he got a terrific voice, he can sing. Oh, what's the point of singing so well and preaching so well and go to hell? You're not threat to the devil. We ought to be threat to the devil. Every time you wake up in the morning, I'm talking about Jeremiah chapter 17, and I'm talking about as the world turns, the judgment of God gets closer. They said, well, I'm doing fine. I got a nice house. I got two swimming pools. I got a four-car garage. I got money in the bank. We are saying all these things because we are moving in the natural realm. We are focusing on the natural realm and not the spiritual realm. You see what I'm saying? We are focusing on that. And most people, preachers and teachers and church folk, just focus on the natural realm. This natural realm is not going to last forever because Jesus says, he said, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words stand forever. So we ought to be focusing on the spiritual realm that we'll be with him in that realm and live a lifestyle to be in that realm. No, here in Jeremiah, he says, blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord and whose hope the Lord is. Other words, do you trust in the Lord? And even when you get a bad report, do you really, 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 truly trust the Lord? Can you sit down and get all types of pain going in your back? You got inflammation spiking in your body, in your joints. And sister, I love the Lord, I trust the Lord. Or you going to sit down and just say, Lord, why is all this stuff happening to me? And then start blaming the Lord. Or you going to say, Lord, I thank you that you are Jehovah Rapha, the God that healeth me. And I trust you, God. I don't know when you're going to do it. I don't know when you're going to take this pain up my leg or work my hand or work my back. But Lord, I know that you're able to do it. Can you talk to him like that? No, we can't. Not so much can. The Bible says, talking with the demon in chapter 17, verse 1. The demon, the term used here is a rare word that seems to refer to a very hard stone. It probably describes a hard material, a hard mineral such as emery, that the hard point was necessary for engraving. The tablet of their heart implies that their hearts are hard like a stone tablet. Ezekiel chapter 11, verse 19. Ezekiel 36 and verse 26. The horn of their altar's projections at the corner of the altar used for both ritual and practical purposes in Exodus verse chapter 27, verse 2. Now, in verse 2 here, we're going back and forth over this text here. Because we're trying to get this thing here down to you. In Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 1 to 6. Verse 2, we're going in now from the King James Version into the Logos Bible. The poles of Asherah worship curves. Curved wooden poles. In Judges chapter 6, verse 25. Or living trees, Deuteronomy chapter 16, verse 21, used as symbols of fertility, connected with worship of the goddess Asherah. Now, this is what Israel started doing. So God is not pleased with us when we are putting other things, other entities or other people or any other stuff ahead of him. He said, thou shalt have no other gods but me, before me. So we find ourselves, we got a new Lamborghini. We got a new BMW, a new Volkswagen, whatever, new motorcycle. And we spend more time trying to detail that car motorcycle than we spend time trying to get the Bible in us. I got this Bible here. My wife was asking me yesterday. She says, talk to Helen Laura. This is a Caucasian lady back in Virginia. And this lady got me this Bible about 20-some years ago. And she had my name put on here, Reverend David Callender, in gold. And this is the best Bible. You know, all Bibles are great. But this is the best study Bible by Nelson I've ever had. It has a lot of footnotes, good footnotes. And she said, you ever talk to Helen? Helen Laura, Caucasian woman. If you meet her, don't care what time or day you meet her, she's going to be talking about Jesus. If she goes to the swimming pool at the YMCA, everybody says, here she comes. Like when some people see us that know how we love God, the moment when they see us, they say, here he come, here she come. Because they know we're going to talk about God. We're not coming on there saying we're kicking the bubble. We're not kicking. We don't have time to kick the bubble. Every 72 years this year, I don't have time to kick the bubble. The finish line is closer than when I first began. So I have to use all of my efforts, all of my time, all of my energy to tell people about Jesus. If they hear or don't hear, I got to make sure I tell them. And not only tell them, I have to live a lifestyle that they say, well, you know what? One thing I know what that fellow David Keller, he just don't talk about the word. He lived the word. They ever say that? They ought to be saying that about all of us. We're not just talking. I'm not concerned about housing and cars and all that stuff. I'm going to have the best of everything. The best of everything, because my daddy owns everything. And when he knows the time is right, because he's keeping me healthy, and he's keeping me in my right mind, he's going to give me everything I need. I know this. But I'm not focused on that, because he's giving me what I need right now, his word. And he's put his spirit in my belly, in my heart, in my mind. I mean, he's in there. Hallelujah. Glory to God. God dropped this in me last night. I didn't have a word. I know who was going to preach today. Well, I was helping my friend yesterday, helping him fix his house up, you know, fix the problems for him. That's my brother. I let him know yesterday. I'd do anything for them. Told him about the Washingtons over there in Louisiana. I said, I don't have a lot of friends, but I got a few. I got a few that I know for sure is my friend. I know for sure. Not only my friend, but my sister and brother. And I told him about the Washingtons yesterday. Because when you have somebody that you can truly, 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 truly trust, that's not going to cut you up. Because I feel. You might not call for my name, but I feel in the spirit. God has given me the spirit of discernment to see and to hear. And I thank God. If I don't get no money, if I don't get all the money that's coming to me, I thank God for giving me the spirit of discernment. Man, sometimes it's so scary. I'll be sitting in the living room talking to my wife, and I started weeping. She said, why are you weeping? I said, yeah. If I tell you, you'll be able to handle it. God just said something to me. And I started crying, sitting down there crying. I don't have reason to cry, but God just touched me so strong. You got to spend time with him. These folk in this book that we talk, read it for yourself. Read the whole chapter, this whole chapter. As a matter of fact, read chapters 13, 14, 15, and 17 of Jeremiah. May God bless you. God bless you. Just to see where all this stuff God is talking to him. Talking to the prophet. And then the prophet got to go tell the people that don't care for him. They didn't care for Jeremiah to come against him. They talked against him, put him in prison, in a dungeon. They had no electric light. They had no candlestick. He was in a dungeon. A dungeon is a dark, cold place. No carpet. No mahogany floor. No wooden floor. No good mattress to lay on. But they put him in there, and he never gave up on God. He trusted that God would honor him and protected him. They had to take him out of the dungeon. Like Joseph. If you trust God in the midst of what you're facing right now, folks say, well, I trust God. But they really don't. I'll tell you the truth, Apostle. They say they trust God, but they're looking at their bills. Crying over the bills, well, I don't have a lot of money. I got $10 in the bank account. I don't know how I'm going to pay these bills next week. Do you really trust what God said? God is not a man that he should lie, nor the son of man that he should repent. Do you really, really, really trust him? If you really, really trust him, guess what will happen? You'll depend on him. You'll really depend on him. And say, okay, God, I don't know, profess to know how you're going to do it. But I believe you're going to do it for me because you said so. And I've seen God work in my trade. I'll be doing some work. And tell the truth, sometimes it's a difficult unit. I've never seen it before. Technology is changing all the time. And I said, Lord, you got to show me on this schematic that I'm looking at. I said, Lord, you need to show me. And sometimes I could say, I was very bold. I said, God, you got to show me. And I shouldn't talk like that, but God said, he knows that's the way I talk anyway. I said, God, you got to show me what's going on here that I can fix this people furnace off, air conditioning, get with this house and get paid. And I'll trying to come to me. I was just fixing one of y'all there, told the apostle, was a rat infected air condition. Ah, went out there. I went out there to fix that air condition. Air condition dead. And the man, see, African American, got a nice little family. No, he's a little messy. But I tell the man says, can you fix it? Or do I have to get a new one? He ready for me to order him a new one. I can make a few $1,000s. You know what I told him? I said, no. I had to go in my truck and I got the box of these gloves, these surgical gloves I bought from Harbor Freight. Bought two boxes, one for the house and one for the car. And I put on my gloves and went out there, Apostle. I'm just giving you one, show how God, I'm putting this in a message because somebody else needs to know that they need to trust God in whatever you're doing. This is part of the message I'm talking about. As the world turns, the judgment of God gets closer. And if you don't think so, you just look about the sky. The hurricane, Isla, what's the name is, she getting ready to hit Florida. And then they tell us that we for the last few days, we've been getting downpours here like buckets. And they said, on the news that it's coming here, the water is coming, not the lot of high winds, but the water is coming here. That's, you understand? So what I said, Lord, I thank you for the water. Because we need water to water the gardens. So the fruit and the vegetation can come up. He said, Lord, why are you saying the rain? Well, no, if you don't get the rain, the reservoir is going to get low. You need the water. You need the water. But you need to pray. You need to trust God. No. I went out there in that air condition. I took me a long, got a bit that I drilled to go into run thermostat, whereas it's like 18 inches you can drill through the joists and stuff. Very skinny thing. I used that. Those rats had gone into the air conditioning. They took them, like they took somebody's mattress or out of a chair or something and took all that cotton stuffing that you see in the chairs inside the mattress. Man, the air conditioning is right in the room, in the doorway, fill up with the electrical wire. They packed that thing with it. I mean, them rats were some good workers. Packed tight. And then it was filled with urine. You know that urine is deadly. Listen to me. It's deadly. If you ever get some of that in your nostrils, you're going to get sick. And you're going to pick up a bacteria. I don't know the name. My wife was telling me the name of that bacteria you get from urine of the rats or mice. Well, I had the stuff disinfected in my car. And they had eaten the wires, chewed up the wires, so the unit couldn't really, really work. The fan was running, but the compressor was running. So I went in there, and I rewired that whole thing, changed the capacitor, changed the contactor coil, and right now that man's house is freezing. Right now. Right now, his house is freezing. He don't have to buy another unit. But I could have told him, I said, look, man, once I see the rats, I said, man, this unit is an old unit. Unit's about 20 years old, you need to get a new unit. But I knew the way the compressor sound and the voices that was coming through, coming back, the readings, it wasn't on the downfall. It wasn't going to go out. So he was happy. You know, and I made a little bit of money. He got sent to his unit and he saved some money. And here, God is speaking to us. We're going to do a two-part of this. I'll come back sometime this week or next week. I'll do part of this because we are in this phase. The Lord is talking about judgment. Prophet Smiley just talked about judging, not be judged. Something I can't remember. She talked about judgment yesterday. We gotta be staying in the vein of what God is saying. God wants us to warn the people. We gotta stay in that vein. We gotta get the people to repent, turn from their sinful ways, instead of preaching these prosperity messages. You don't get too much of that here on Blog Talk Radio. We are not here to judge nobody. We are not here to condemn nobody. But we are here to tell people that there's a way out. That's our message. There's a way out, and the way out is Jesus Christ. I don't care how the homosexuals turn up and how the lesbians and how the fornicators, how the adulterers and how the thieves and the gangbangers and the gunshots and all this stuff going on around us. I'm not concerned about that stuff. I'm not concerned about that stuff. What I want to know that there is an opportunity for people to get out of that stuff. Because you can't go to hell. You can't go to heaven living a promiscuous lifestyle. You can only go to heaven if you're covered in the blood. That means you have been cleansed. I think Apostle talked about that last week, about the blood. You have been washed in the blood. You can't go to heaven no other way else. You got to be cleansed. And if you are mistreating your husband or your wife, you ain't going to heaven either. I'll tell you something. Because God says she's born of your bone. He is born of your bone and flesh of your flesh. Folk can preach the gospel and then disrespect their husband, disrespect their wife, disrespect their children, disrespect their mother, disrespect their father. No, you ain't going to heaven. He said, honor the father and the mother that did me long in the land. If your days are not long in this land here with the Lord that God giveth thee, you're not going to be long in the kingdom. You're not going in the kingdom of God. You can't be part of the kingdom. Here, verse 5 says, he talks about treasures in verse 3. Verse 4, he talks about the land that he taken himself from. This is a poetic message that God is sending through Jeremiah. And we're going down here. We're going to go to book verse 18, and now let me see where we are. Book verse 18 on this. And then we'll come back, and we'll start at verse 19 and start talking about the Sabbath. You know, keeping the Sabbath. Because them old Catholic people, they change everything. And they mesmerize the church. And the church got so caught up in the Catholic teaching that they don't follow what God requires. You know, when it's ever Sunday, it's that day we go to church. Well, is that the day that God requires? Or Saturday? Are we out there trying to make all the money? I do. I'm guilty of that. Trying to make all the money we can make on Sunday, on Saturday, so we can pay our bills and help somebody else and help the poor and the widows in the office. That God said, do no work on the Sabbath. Keep it holy, for it's holy unto the Lord. And we go to church on Sunday, we lift up hands and say, well, I worked yesterday, I made time and a half on Saturday, but I'm going to church on Sunday. Well, you're disobeying God. Don't care how well you preach, you're still disobeying God. Because he says so. It's in the Word. We'll talk about it. Now, this section consists of wisdom poems, a wisdom poem that concludes with a praise hymn. The wisdom saying are reminiscent of Psalm 1. Russell Washington preached on that a couple weeks ago on Psalm 1. With an emphasis on trusting Yahweh and avoiding wickedness. God wants us to trust him and avoid wickedness. Now, you know, wickedness is not just going out there and smacking somebody with a baseball bat or stabbing somebody or shooting somebody. But when you are conniving and deceiving, lying, it's wickedness. We are talking and gossiping with your brother and sister behind their back. That's wickedness. We ought to be saying, well, you know, Pastor so-and-so, Bishop so-and-so, Pastor so-and-so, they're men of God, women of God, evangelist so-and-so, prophetess so-and-so. That woman, a good woman of God. God is doing something in her life. And if something is in your heart and you don't feel right with her, I guess the Lord forgive me. And there's some preachers that I don't feel right. Well, I told the truth. Truth be told. But I said, Lord, help me to love sister so-and-so. Help me to love brother so-and-so. Help me to continue praying good praise for instead of and not want to pray for this wife. No, you know, because the devil is so slick, man. He's so deceptive. You understand? He told don't even call your sister name in prayer. And you say, well, I love the Lord, but I'm not going to pray for my brother. I'm not going to pray for my sister. You're a liar, and the truth is not in you. The Bible says so. I don't have time, Apostle. I don't have time to discuss people. Not, I tell you that my finish line is close. I feel it. It's closer than when I first began. I asked God for 106 years old. I'm almost 72, so I just got less than a half a century, 30-some years. Before I get there. So I'm closer to my finish line. I asked God for that when I was a little boy. And the way I feel in my body, excuse me, like he's going to allow me to get to 106. Because I feel real good. But it's not about feelings. It's about knowing in my spirit that God's going to help me. He's going to take me there so I can continue preaching his gospel. No. The blessings that result from righteousness are likened to the flourishing of a well-watered tree. Apostle, you talked about that in Psalm 1. But when you are blessing that you, when you are blessed by the Lord, you feel in your body that you're watered from the inside. You may not have all the things that you want, but you have all that you need at that particular time. God, there's a joy that surpasses your understanding when you are blessed by God. People say, my wallet is overflowing with money. I'm really blessed. My car's full of gas. I got air in the tank. My body's on. That's not blessings. That's not blessing. That's just a materialistic thing that you have that go. Say you got $100 in your pocket, you break it. Soon you break it and spend $10, that $100 it just disappears. You say, well, I just had $100. And all of a sudden, it's gone. But the blessing that God placed in our hearts, in our spirit, man, it can't, nobody can take it out. We sing that song all the time. This gift I have, no one can take it from me. The joy. That's it. Thank you, Holy Spirit. This joy I have, the world can't take it from me. The world didn't give it, the world can't take it away. That's blessing. Hallelujah. And I get up here, and I told Pastor a couple weeks ago, my right knee was so bad. But one week, both knees was gone. Oh, my God, both knees was gone. Both knees was swollen. And I just laid hands on both of them, and I took a shower and come out, said, Lord, I pray for these knees inside the bathroom. I said, God, you know, I got to go all these places and preach the gospel. And how can I preach it and talk about healing and I'm falling apart? Man, they stand up in the bed sleeping. I don't know how he did it. I ain't trying to figure out. But he put me to sleep. And when I got up, both knees, the pain was gone. Then I had the right knee was swollen. I mean, like somebody hit me in the knee with a baseball bat. It was so big, I said, honey, look, this knee is bigger than the other one. Something is wrong. Well, I prayed. Didn't go to no doctor. They didn't put no needle inside here and draw no fluid out of my... Jesus probably did it. But I don't know. I can't tell how he did it, but I'm telling you, glory to God, I shared with Pastor. That knee went down. I didn't see where it went down. I just know that it went down. It was no more swollen and no more pain. No more pain. Because you got to trust him that kind of way. You got to trust him that kind of way. Even because the devil tries to stop us. He don't want us to walk no way. He don't want us to talk. He's going to make your tongue get heavy. He's going to make your ears get dull. He's going to make your eyes get cloudy. He's going to do everything that he can do trying to stop us from teaching this gospel. No, we can't know the devil to do that. We got to stand. See, hear what I'm saying? We got to stand on the promises of God. His promises, yeah and amen. Hallelujah. Yeah and amen. Amen. Not your promise, not my promise. His promise is yeah and amen. See, a lot of times we're thinking about us. No, it's not us. What did God say about you? What did God, look in the Bible, what did God say about me? I'm dealing with this. What did God say? He said, weeping may endure for a night, but joy is coming in the morning. So joy is any time that you get focused. When you get focused on God, joy is there. Ah, glory to God. That's your morning time. Hallelujah. You think it's 3 o'clock in the morning, you think it's 4 o'clock in the morning. Joy, anytime you get focused on God. When you begin to focus on God, that joy comes in. You can't escape it. Joy comes in. Because he's joy. He's the essence of joy. The moment you begin, oh, Lord, my son is acting like a fool. My daughter acting like a fool. I don't know what I'm going to do. All we do is let the symptom now. We let the symptom come and take away our joy. Do you hear what I'm saying? We let the symptom come and take it. I'm still talking about as the world turns, the judgment of God gets closer. Come over to Jeremiah chapter 17, and we go from verse 1 to 18, and we're going to stop there. But no. We are focused on the symptom and not the solution. Oh, thank God. Apostle, all of us do from time to time. We got a back pain, or neck pain, or elbow pain, or knee pain. Or whatever, eye pain or ear pain, we are focused on that. We are focused on all the symptoms. And never, ever tap into the solution. What's the solution, Apostle? I'm glad you asked me. The solution is Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. Amen. Jesus is the solution to whatever situation we're dealing with. Even as the world turns, we say, oh, my God, no, they got another virus. They're stronger than the one we had. The symptoms. But it's not stronger than my God. See? The symptoms. Hallelujah.
Amen. Hallelujah.
We are focused on it. We don't focus on him. Well, I remember when Minister Andre was was leaving that job because he was getting so much problems on that job. And she said, the pop comment one day. I mean, she wants, I don't know where she called me for the confirmation, but I mean, you want to leave, you leave. But, I mean, she trusts me. You know, she said, Pastor, I need to talk to you about this. She says, man, these people on this job is cutting up against me and doing this and doing that. And now I'm going to leave the job. And I said, but daughter, why are you going to leave the job without having the other job secure? She says, I'm going to go see about the other job. And then when she go for the job, there's all of these white people, maybe 18 people ahead of her, 18, 19 people ahead of her. Apostle Washington is praying for her. Bishop is what praying for her. And she called me, Grant. She said, I don't know if I'm going to get the job because so many people. I said, look, you're God's servant. Trust God. The Bible says I've been young, I've never seen the righteous forsaken orders. She's begging bread. God ain't going to let you be begging for bread. Trust God. I don't care who you pay for that job. The job is yours. I told her, I said, she looked at me. She said, Apostle, you sure? I said, I'm telling you, I don't care who will pay for that job. That job is yours. Guess what? They said she had a call and said, well, Miss Flowers, we would like you to come in for a second interview. She called me. She was all excited. I said, daughter, you don't have to go for no second interview. Watch your shit. She said, you sure? Before, a couple of days before the second interview, they called her again and said, look, you don't need to come in for the interview. You got the job is yours. I'm telling you, over 72 or 73,000 dollars a year she's making. I'm telling you the truth. God did it because you have to trust him. I don't care what the doctor's saying. You can't say I trust God and still have a little doubt. You ain't trust God. Well, I see God will heal me, but where's the butt come from? Conjunction, where it come from? Don't let the butt come in there. I'm feeling sick. You got to say, I'm feeling sick. I don't know how God's going to do it. I don't know how God's going to do it, but I do believe. I believe in my heart that God's going to do it. I believe he's already done. I just got to walk till it manifests. And guess what happened? But let's finish this thing here quick. But bless the name of the Lord. The first and second stanza, Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 5 to 6. And then we jump from Jeremiah 17 to 6 to 7 and 8. It contrasts the folly of trusting in the power of men over the power of God by using the image of a desert shrub or a fruitful tree. The third stanza, verse 9 to 11, reflects the worldview of a tribulation, retribution theology, promising the righteous that the wicked will pay for their actions. God is not going to let nobody or anybody, let me say it this way, God is not going to let anybody escape their sin. They got to pay. So you might say, well, how come that the unrighteous can get, they seem like they're going free with everything they do, everything they get? No, they're not getting stopped free. He said, but as soon as I fail, it seems like I got to suffer. My car breaks down, the fridge acting up, the garbage disposal is broken. No, the air conditioner is broken. I got to pay for something. No. You wonder, well, I'm serving God. Why is all this stuff happening to me? Well, God's not doing it. The enemy's trying to do things to us to make us stop believing and trusting in God. Do you know that? The devil will send demons and different of his agents to distract us, delay us, and make us accuse God of stuff. Did you see what he did to Job? Everything.
Yes,
Job
yes.
is a righteous man. He walked upright before God. The Bible said that he's one to shoot evil. That means that he stay away from anything evil. You know, he's a righteous man before God. And the thing about that story, we will get back into this mess. If I don't finish it today, we'll start from where we stopped the next time I do come back, when the Lord let me come back. I don't know what day. But look, Satan and God is having a conversation. God is talking to the devil. The devil is talking to God. God is asking Satan when he come from going to and fro. He said, I come from going to and fro and up and down the earth. They're having a conversation. You all heard the story. I'm not looking at it right now. I'm still here in my book, in chapter 17 of Jeremiah. But God is the one that turned Satan, turned Job out to Satan. If you don't, we go look at your book. Look out in your book. Satan, they never asked God about Job. They never, not one time in the book, asked God about Job. Asked Satan about Job. He didn't ask. Satan didn't ask God about, not one time. God said, do you consider my servant Job? You hear me? He said in that beginning somewhere, you got a head to run him, Bill. Even if I consider him, you got a head to run him.
Oh.
And God said, okay, I know he's a righteous man. You can fear God. Can you walk? Can we walk in such a realm of holiness that God would say, Satan, or your demons, can you check my son David over there? I'm just thinking about me. That's the realm that I want to get in. That's the realm that I'm seeking for. That I get to a place that God is trust me enough that he'll let Satan come and test me even more than he tests me now. That's what I'm pushing for. Listen to me. As the world turns, judgment of God gets closer. And when the judgment gets closer, you better be in right standing with God's word and God's spirit. Because it's going to get worse. You know, we hear that every year. It's going to get worse, and it's getting worse. It's going to get worse. But we have to be in right standing. Don't care how much you preach. You can set up your church from here to next week. Set up your church. Hear what I'm saying, not God's church. We can set up our church from here to next year. But if God didn't set up the church, guess what happened? It's just a mess. It's just a mess. Because we want to press our chest up and say, well, you know, I got two church buildings. I got churches in South, you know, they say I got, this is my church in the South Branch, and I got my church in the North Branch. You know, they got two churches, three churches, four churches. And they're boasting about that stuff. But their walk does not glorify God. We want to get to a place that my walk, my lifestyle, our lifestyle glorify God. God said, look, this is my church right there. They ain't got no Bible. They ain't got no two big old Bible on it and encyclopedia and a Strong's dictionary and all that stuff underneath the arm. They got all that stuff. But their heart is weighted down with the glory of God. The word of God is weighted down their heart. They live the word. They are the word. That's what God wants. So as it gets worse, we ain't even worried about what's going on. They're talking about Russians coming in here, and they're talking about Chinese people coming in here. They say they're infiltrating the United States and all this stuff. And going, who cares? It's going to happen. Because the people are evil. The people are gravitating to evil, sin more than gravitating to righteousness. But God has a few remnants, a few bands of remnants inside this country. And once we put together, God's protection is going to be on us. Hallelujah. It's not about preaching that happy message. It's top 10 out of preaching that happy message. You got to preach people, let them know that judgment is coming. No, preach that message, the righteousness. Hallelujah. Till he entered the ark. And the people laughed at him. Laughed at him because he was talking about rain. He was talking about something that no man has ever seen, not even Noah has ever seen before. He had been a boat almost 3 miles away from water, from any water. How are he going to get? He don't have a tractor trailer. Wheel that thing down to the water, down to the river, down to the ocean. He don't have nothing. He don't have not even a lawnmower, some lawnmowers to put around to rain it down with. Nothing. And the people are laughing at him. Because God promises you and amen. If God tell you that he's going to bless you, believe me, he's going to bless you even more than he's blessing you now. If you look at your life, look at my life, look at our lives. There's folk that are dying from stuff that we're living with, and we can't praise him. People that died with stuff that we are still alive with. Hallelujah. People had heart attacks and just went right out. I remember a couple of years ago, one of our brothers in Christ, Prophet Jackson, his wife came home from work and went upstairs and said, honey, I'm going upstairs and lay down. Very nice lady. Came out and went upstairs, came from work and went upstairs in the house. Went upstairs, went to sleep. I sleep right into oblivion. Went right off, woman to be the Lord. Woman that loved the Lord. Loved the Lord. I went right over. She was walking with the Lord, living with the Lord. And she slipped back into her eternal sleep. We have to live in a life, and our life is such a way that if for some reason God decided to call us home, I told my wife, I said, baby, if he call me home, when he do call me home, don't get around here boo-hooing and kidding. Live your life and take care of the children and grandchildren. Then he call you home. Because I said, I'm living to live again. The third stanza he talks about here reflects the worldview of retribution theology, promising the righteous that the wicked will pay for their actions. The final stanza of the poem is a praise hymn. Then God began to talk about, and here in chapter 17 of Jeremiah, verse 5, he talks about curse is the person. You know, we put more reverence into the bishop, the chief apostle, than we put into God. You understand? We spend more time loving on our bishop and our pastor. I'm not saying don't respect the pastor. I think you should respect the man of God or woman of God. But when it comes to that, you have more respect for the man of God than you have for God. Something is wrong with that picture. That you don't stand up for the name Jesus or Yahshua or Yahweh. Or Tiskenu or Jehovah Nisi, El Shaddai, Jehovah Shabu. You don't stand on your feet when the pastor says, it's time to worship Jesus. But the pastor just get up out of his office and come into you. He said, everybody stand on your feet. The bishop is coming in. The pastor's coming. Everybody get an attention for the pastor and the bishop. Because you reverence the bishop, the pastor, the apostle more than you would. I was in Africa. They do that. I said, stop that. Don't do that to me. I'm a man just like you. You know, in the book of Acts, and Peter went over to Ananias' house. He started bowing. Peter said, don't do that. Then the angel in Revelation, John bowed. Peter said, don't do that. I'm a servant just like you. We got to recognize that the preacher, I'm a servant. That's all I am. No matter what I'm wearing or carrying, I'm just a servant. We are just servants. But we want to act, we walk and push our chest up because we got our priest collar on, got the ring, got the bishop ring on, the apostle ring on, the pastor ring, the evangelist ring, teacher ring, and you got a cross around your neck in your pocket just showing that you reverence what God done at Calvary because my cross don't have no man on it. It's a plain cross. And you just carry that next to your heart because you're saying that I reverence what God has done for us on the cross at Calvary. And then you want everybody to bow to you because you got a priest collar on. Man, you better be glad. Better pray that your heart is right. Pray that your heart is right. That if he calls you out of this world, that you will go to be with him. All this worship that you get your reward here on earth. You want to get reward in heaven. I want a robe. I want a white robe. And I want a crown. I want slippers. I want a gold ring on my finger. One that's not contaminated. So I have to do what I have to do here while I'm on earth in this earth realm. I have to live my time out holy. Holy. Not praying holy, but holy. I'm going to situations where my salvation is tried. And we're talking about working on your own salvation with fear and trembling. Are you going to give away yours is tried? Amen. Your vice or your addiction may be alcohol. Mine is crack cocaine, alcohol, women, all that stuff. You see, my God, I got a long list. So what do you think the devil going to try me with? What do you think going to test me with? Kool-Aid? A lollipop? Chewing gum? No, he going to test me with women. He going to test me with alcohol. He going to test me with money. He going to test me with adultery and fornication and all the stuff that he knew that I did. You hear what I'm saying? So, can I still stand? My answer is yes, because I've did it before. I'll do it again. I said no. I was in New Orleans, and I stand with a woman that her husband had just walked away from her. A woman that's fertile, excited, attracted, and all. And I stayed with her. And her preacher said, well, you shouldn't stay at our house because, you know, her husband gone away. he's gone away with another woman and all that stuff, and now she's all by herself. But God set this thing up so good. The house had 3 bedrooms. She in the front room, the daughter in the back room, and God put me in the middle. I would like the glue to pull them together, hold them together while they were going through what they're going through. And guess what? Not one of them disrespect me, neither did I disrespect myself. You got to know who you are and whose you are. I'm not about to tell you. You can stand. You can stand. You don't have to pick up a drink. You don't have to smoke that blunt because your cousin or your niece or nephew is smoking marijuana at the cookout. He said, you can smoke a little bit because you're not in the church building now. The pastor can't see you. But guess who sees us? You over here, you can have a little sex. You know, you had sex for this time. You know, the stupid devil, he's stupid, man. I call him stupid. He said, you had sex for a couple of years, 2 months, or 3 months, whatever. You can have a little sex now. Ain't nobody going to know what you do. But guess who know? God know, and you know. Don't let the devil fool you. God knows every time we mess up, and we know every time we mess up. Every time. Now, I spend my time. Sorry to tell you, Apostle, but I spend my time by myself, me and God. My honey go places, she and my granddaughter. I'm in here with my Bible. A lot of time I'm reading on my computer. I got to leave today. And an hour or so I got to go. She's going to drop less than an hour. I got to drop some out of work, and I got to drive down to Best to get one of these computers fixed because it's messing up. And get it fixed. But she paid it. My granddaughter paid a lot of money. So I told her, why do I got to keep fooling with a computer? Let me take it there. Let them geeks. Because she paid for it. She paid, have a contract. She paid over $200 and some. You know, because she made some money. That's the first time she does all the stuff now. She paid for all the stuff now. And she said, I want to get it. Because if my computer break, I don't want to have to fool around and take it and let the geese deal with it. I said, well, that's it. And so I told her, honey, I ain't going to fool with this computer. Why don't we use the contract that my granddaughter, everybody in the house, if your cell phone down, we can take it. Anybody. So I go in there a little later, drop some out of work, and then go right there and let them work on the computer. This is what we do. Let's finish this little part here. Verse 8 says, He says, let me think we read that one. Read it. He says, well, let's read it over again. Verse 8 of chapter 17 of Jeremiah, he says, and we're talking about the subject matter today, as the world turns, the judgment of God gets closer. Hallelujah. You're going to live. If you don't live, you're going to see the judgment of God. You're going to see the hand of God on this country. And not only this country, but all over the world. You see that. You see prophets and bishops and apostles, they're dying everywhere. Pastors are dying all over the world. All over the world. I said, every time I look on YouTube, they show me another pastor died. Another pastor died. Another bishop died. Another evangelist died. I mean, they're dying. Because God is cleaning house. Just like he did with the money changers. He's cleaning house now. Only thing is not just turning over tables. He's moving them crooked apostles and bishops and all them folk out of the house, out of his house. Because they're contaminating his church. And not the church building, the church, the people. They're not preaching the full truth. They're preaching the half truth, and the half truth is a lie. So God has to get the ones out the house that's doing that. Don't think they're going to heaven. You know, you see them say they're going to heaven. They're not going to heaven. If you mess with God's word, you're not going to heaven. If you water it down and preach it the way you want to preach, you're not going to heaven. Because you become a liar. Now, you're going to put my name on that. You can sign my name to that. He shall be like a tree planted by the waters. Or she was doing in Psalm 1. That spreadeth out her roots by the river and shall not see when he cometh. But her leaf shall be green and shall not be careful in the year of drought. Neither shall cease from yielding fruit. See, this is the righteous man. This is the righteous woman. Remember we talk about the crooked, wicked one earlier in the text? When we talked about the juniper in verse 6, that's the wicked one, the wicked plant, representing the wicked person. They will be burned up in the desert, no water, don't know water. The roots are not fine enough to reach water. But the righteous not going to be like the tree planted by the rivers of living water. You see that over there in Psalm 1. This is the same verse here, written a different way by Jeremiah. When you walk in upright before God, the Bible says, if you love the Lord and you walk upright before him, no good thing will withhold from you. You're going to have your way. You're going to have what you need. You may not have what you want, but you're going to have what you need. I slept in an abandoned house because of crack cocaine. Apostle, I did. You know why? Because I had spent all of my money smoking up in cocaine, and I couldn't go home. I was too ashamed, too embarrassed to go home. And I ripped my clothes and hugged my wallet, telling my wife that I had gotten beaten up by robbers. Go home with clothes tore up, and she know I didn't have no bumps on my face or hand on it. She know I was lying. And she jammed me on that. She said, well, you got to lie to me. I already know that you smoke your money. Because cocaine has me in bondage. And Jesus set me free. But now I'm like a tree planted by the rivers of living water. I'm never without, never broke. Can never be broke. Pastor told me that a couple of years ago. I can never be broke. And God said it now that I could sit in my house and I still got my skill. And he called me up. Somebody said, I need an air conditioner fix. In wintertime, I need my heat fix. And they called me. Somebody tell somebody who tell somebody who tell somebody. Because that's how God fixes those so that we always have some. He said, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? The heart. Where is the devil dropping thoughts? You say your mind, but it's in your heart. It's just a good heart. Because the mind and the heart are connected. The mind and the heart are connected. You get a thought and you activate it. And when you activate the thought, then it becomes sin. It's not sin till you activate it. You can have a thought all day long. I have thoughts too, man. I tell you, I have thoughts all day long. All day long. You too. You have thoughts all day long. If you have life, and I'm talking to living people, not dead people. If you have blood flowing through your veins, you get thoughts all day long. All day long. Especially you confess that you're saved, born again, believer in Christ Jesus, you get thoughts. Truth be told, you get some that you can't stand. They're so strong. You have to fight to keep them off. But God is helping us, you and I, all of us, the Holy Spirit helping us to stand above the thoughts. But the thoughts, we can cast them down. That's what Paul says. All thoughts and imagination. Sometimes we imagine stuff. You imagine being with her, being with him, being this, doing this stuff, doing that stuff. And it's not good. When you imagine that stuff that's contrary to the word, it's not good. And God has to prompt us in our hearts to cast it down so we don't sin. Because it's not sin until we cast it down. That's right. We got to cast it down. I know I hear you, honey. What time are we leaving?
10 minutes.
10 minutes, okay. We're gonna stop. Let me do first 10 and then we'll stop there. When I come back the next time, I don't know when it is, maybe the next 2 days, I'll come back and I'll continue from verse 11. It says, I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins, that's the mind, the thoughts, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doing. So, see, God is going to bless us and God is going to keep us and enlighten us according to our doings. God, the God that we serve, okay, he is going to bless us according to our doings. He is going to keep us according to our doings and God's to our saying. What are you saying today? What are you doing today? Father God, we thank you and praise you, God, for this word that you've given us today. And Lord, we hope that we have said enough to encourage somebody. Father God, you know that we are not there yet, but we are striving. We are striving to get there. And I pray, oh God, that you would give us more, that we'll have more at the appointed time for those that are hungry and for those that are thirsty. And God, I ask that you bless the hearers of this word today and those that will become doers of the word that they heard today, that as they go forth, they will go forth with power and they will go forth with authority. In your name we pray, Jesus. Amen and amen. Bishop, I think you're on the line. Come on in and do the prayer of salvation for us, and then we'll open the line. I'm going to have the computer with me, so we'll still be on. We'll have one of these computers plus the other one that I'm taking to get fixed.
Okay. All right. Greetings, brothers and sisters, and new believers. If you have backslidden and have fallen short of the glory of God, as we all do fall short from time to time, and you've backslidden, or if you have never received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, now's your opportunity. Please accept this opportunity. Take advantage of it, because God sent his only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. He sent his only begotten Son in the book of John, chapter verses 16 through 17. And for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, so that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. So you see, God has given us an opportunity. Again, don't pass it by. We never know. We never know when we will be required, our soul will be required. Now, the word of God says in the book of Romans, chapter 3, verse 23, for we all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Hallelujah. And in the Romans chapter 6, verse 23, says the wages of sin is death, a spiritual death. Do not let yourself get caught short and cross over in eternal damnation by and be into that spiritual death, because there's no coming back. If you confess with your mouth, and as it says in the book of Romans also, chapter 10 and verses 8. I don't know why I pressed the wrong thing here. Hallelujah. Says, if what does it say? It says, the word is near you, it's in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach, that if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus has died for our sins and that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Hallelujah. Now, if you said that short scripture, verse 9, and you confess that you want to give your life and childhood to the Lord Jesus Christ, he's the only way to salvation. It's the only way stated in the Bible. It's the only way is through the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Don't pass this opportunity up. There's so many people perishing and various things happening all over, shootings, natural disasters, and you cross over, you know. And I pray in the name of Jesus that you and everybody in the sound of my voice live a very long life and successful life. But we want to be a real successful when we cross over. We want to see Jesus. We want to be with the Lord God Almighty. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. So if you've made that confession, your slate is clean. You're sin-free at this moment, but you must speak it out loud. You must confess it out loud. And your slate is clean, as I said. And you're free of sin. Now, you're a brand-new creature in Christ. You're in the arms of the Lord Jesus Christ. You're not in the control of the enemy. And you are starting all over again, just like a brand new baby. You made that confession. But you must do not return to the former way you were living. You must, repent. And the key is repentance. Now, in the book of Acts, it's your next next thing you must do is be baptized. If you haven't been baptized, you must get baptized. It's an outward sign that you accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, and we pray in the name of Jesus that many, many, many people are invited to your baptism, and us, and that the world knows that you've accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, and the only way is through the book of Acts. And it says in the book of Acts, chapter 4, verse 12, nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. That name is the Lord Jesus Christ, our blessed Savior. Now, also in the book of Acts, chapter 2, in verse 8, okay, I'm going to read it to you here. Chapter 2, beginning in verse 8, and Peter said unto them, repent, and let every one of you be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. Hallelujah. And so that day, about 3,000 souls were added to them, and he encouraged them, saying, save yourself from the perverse generation. And we pray that you would do that on this day. Give yourself to the Lord Jesus Christ. There's no other way. There's no other way to get to heaven except through the Lord Jesus Christ. And you can find that at the book of Acts, chapter 2, hallelujah, beginning at verse 38 through 41. And I'll read it off to you. Then Peter said to them, repent, and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is to you and to your children and to all who are far off, as many as the Lord our God will call. And with many other words, he testified and exhorted or encouraged them, saying, be saved from this perverse generation. And those who gladly received his word were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were added to them. Hallelujah. So join us also and become come along with the 3,000 souls that accepted him, Jesus as their Savior many years ago. Hallelujah. And you must, if you will, invite everyone you can to your baptism so that many may come and many may receive the Lord Jesus Christ just by witnessing your baptism. Hallelujah. And those souls will be accredited to you for being drawn to the Lord God Almighty. And if you have a Bible, we suggest that you read your Bible daily. Take your time. Ask the Holy Spirit where he wants you to go before you even start reading your Bible. Ask the Holy Spirit where he wants you to go, and ask him to interpret to you what he's saying through his word. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Now, thank you. Congratulations. Welcome to the family of God. And welcome back home, brothers and sisters. We're so happy that you decided to come back. Blessed be God, and blessed be his holy name. Have a happy day, a wonderful, splendid day, and may you and your families be safe and all well. In the name of Jesus Christ. Apostle, it's back to you, sir.
Thank you so much, Bishop. The line is open. Line is open. Anyone that wants to respond? Glory.
Glory to God.
Yes, glory to God.
Hallelujah. Glory, hallelujah. We bless the Lord. Lord, we bless you. We bless the Savior. Thank you. Thank you, Lord, for saving us, Lord. Thank you for raising us out of the pit of hell, oh God, out of that pit that would send us straight to hell, Lord. Lord, we thank you. Oh Lord, this message today reminding us that, Lord God, that we should trust you always. That's what this was all about, this message, trust in the Lord. And Bishop was saying earlier, Apostle, that we have to do what the Lord said, lean not on your own understanding. Hallelujah. And God has said we should commit our ways to him. Submit your ways to the Lord and lean not on your own understanding. And if we lean on the Lord is able. You said it, the Lord is able. He's able to do everything. To release, we thank God for you and your family. We thank God for the word. That's the main thing, the word of God. We got to get the word. And so we are grateful today to have heard it and grateful to know that with the Lord's help, we can live it. But we can only live it with his help when we lean on him, to trust him, because he's a faithful God. He's true to his word. The word will never, ever, ever be returned to God void, because God is a truthful God. He's a God that loves us and will never leave us nor forsaken us. And so I just heard trust today. Trust in your deliverer. Trust in the one that will destroy all the yokes. Trust in the one that will destroy every chain. We must trust him with everything concerning our lives and all of our concerns about our family and everything pertaining to our life, period. Nothing is too minute for God to do, and nothing is too great for him to do. He's our all in all. And that's what I just kept hearing, just trust him. He walk. Not just hear, but we can walk. Walk it out. Hallelujah. Live it out. Live the word. What we got to do. So that's what I was hearing as I was listening. I appreciate all of you on the line, whoever's on the line. We appreciate you for coming to the line to listen to the word. I know I appreciate coming myself. Amen. Hallelujah. I don't really want to miss the word. And here's the thing, Apostle said, that we have to learn for ourselves. We have to go to the scriptures for ourselves and study the word for ourselves, because that's what the Bible tells us to do. Study to show yourself approved. Study to show yourself approved. Nobody else can get it for us. We can hear it, but we must do it. And that's what you were saying, do the word. So we got to trust God, trust his wisdom, trust that God knows everything. He sees everything. He's everywhere present at the same time. So it's foolish not to trust God. He knows everything. He even knows our thoughts that we even haven't thought. We haven't even thought them yet. He knows what we're going to think, what we're going to do, where we're going to go. He knows all the where's, the why's, the how's, the when. You know, he knows all that. So anyway, that's all I have to say. It was a great word. I appreciate it. And once again, reminded of the fact that God is a great God. Amen. 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 Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you once again, Apostle. God bless you. God keep you. God's face, his countenance ever shine upon you and grant you peace for all of the rest of your life, all the way into eternity. We thank God for you, sir. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And God bless all of you on the line. Pastor Millie's sister is still in the hospital. We're asking for continued prayer for her, and that she will be released from the hospital soon. We believe in God that she shall live. She shall but live and not die to declare the works of the Lord. Hallelujah. That's what we're maintaining in our minds, the word of God for her, that she's healed, because the Lord is going to heal her. We believe that. We believe that she will receive her healing in this earth. while she's still here. Amen. Because ultimately we're all healed, whether we get the healing here in the earth or we get it when we get on the other side, because there is going to be no one sick in paradise that has been promised to us. Hallelujah. Nobody's going to be sick. Nobody's going to be crying. There will be no more death. Glory be to God. God, Jesus Christ has already shed his blood and made a way for return to our promised land, which is that paradise, hallelujah, that belongs to the saints of God, because God gave it to us. But while we're here, we must take authority over everything the enemy is doing. And, you know, you also talked about the in the news, how when we every day we hear new news. Every day I get the news on my phone. I get the news. I get world news. I know what's going on. And every time you look around, all through the day, something bad is happening. Of course, good things are happening as well. It's not all bad. But the best thing that's happening to us as Christians and saints of God, those who are seated in heavenly places with Christ Jesus, something good is always happening for us. Hallelujah. Something great is always happening for us because God has the best. He does the best for his children. And he gives his all in all to all of us, even to a sinner, because a sinner needs the mercy of God. Hallelujah, because the wrath of God abides on the sinner. So we need the mercy of God and the grace of God. And even a sinner is being blessed every day because the wrath of God abides on the sinner. And at any time, a sinner could leave this place still being a sinner. So we need the grace of God. We need the mercy of God. We need God for everything. And you were just saying, study the word for yourself. So many good points in there. Hallelujah. Trust the Lord. That's what I heard. So I've already said that. I want to repeat myself over and over. So enough said already. That's my comment. And God bless all of you. And that'll be about it for my comment. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God.
Thank you so much, Apostle. Thank God for you. We started this service today. We started service today praying for Prophetess Apostle Millie for her sister. And we believe in God with them and for them. You know, I prayed for her, was in prayer last night for her. You know, because it's a fight, you know. It's a fight. And
that's right.
And the fight is not a physical fight, even though she's suffering physically, but it's a spiritual fight. You know, it's a spiritual fight, you know, because she knows the Lord. And we have to stay in the gap with her. We got to stay in the gap there with her as she fights in the natural and in the spirit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so we believe in God for her. And also Prophet Apostle Millie to give Millie the strength that she needs in this time. You know, because she needs strength. You know, she really needs strength. So we praying. We're staying in prayer with them.
Still at the
thank you so much. Thank you so much for that wonderful response. And you can let me know tonight if you're going into part four. And let me know.
Well, I'll do part four. I could do it on Thursday. I have somebody coming over to the house tomorrow.
Okay.
We have to go over some things that need to be done in the house. And then
no problem.
I'll come until the end. Yeah.
No
but
problem. I'll do part two because I got a part two.
Okay, so I'll do it on Thursday.
I'm going to part two. Okay.
Yeah, I'll do it on Thursday. Because I got to be, you know, available for them when they can come. But I will do Thursday. I will do Thursday.
All right, I'm glad you went there.
Yeah. Thank you so much. Thank you, Bishop, for that prayer of salvation. It's very on point today. It's on point. On point.
Thank you
so much, Bishop. The line is open now for anyone that wants to. Line is open for anyone that wants to respond.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, everything's quiet out there. Pastor Millie was doing well last night. I talked to her, and her sister was talking, and we prayed. We prayed, and I know you were praying last night, and we were praying too. I called her, and she was at the hospital, and we just prayed for a good little while, and her sister has gotten a little stronger. She's talking. Praise God. And Pastor Millie says to tell you all, thank y'all so much for all of the prayers. I forgot to say that. She's very appreciative, and I know you know that, Apostle. She's very appreciative. She's a person who is very thankful and grateful, you know, for all that the Lord does, and grateful for her friends and her family. And so she just wanted me to extend those thanks to you all for the prayers, and we're praying for all of the Block Talk family, hallelujah, and for all of the saints of God who are fighting this intense battle, this spiritual battle. Like you said, it's a spiritual battle that we're fighting, but we're fighting with the good fight of faith, because we know that the Lord is fighting our battles. Amen. Glory be to God. We just have to trust him and have faith in the Lord, which pleases him. And which gives him that pleasure. He takes pleasure. He takes pleasure in the, he delights in the prosperity of his servants, which means we are prospering. We are prospering because we are victorious on every count. Amen. We are prospering in the spirit realm as well. That's what he's saying, the prosperity of his servants. We're prospering in our souls. We're prospering spiritually, and we're prospering in other ways, but the most important way is to prosper spiritually. Hallelujah. And that's what we're doing. And he delights in it because we have that faith in him. Amen, amen. Glory to God. Nobody was saying anything. That's why I came back in. But amen. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, to you, good name, Jesus. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. I didn't get you too fresh at all today. Was he on the line, Apostle?
No, Deacon is not on. Deacon is not online.
Oh. And I called him last night. He didn't answer the phone.
It's the first time he missed. He missed.
Yeah. I wonder what's going on.
Yeah, that's what I was saying. That's not like
him. Yeah, because he didn't. That's not like him. And he didn't answer the phone for two nights. Well, he had called 2 days ago, and I wasn't able to answer his call. And then I called him back. He didn't answer. And then I called him on yesterday to give him some more details about our little retreat that's going on. And he didn't answer the phone. So I'll call him. I'll call back to see. Matter of fact, if he don't answer, I'll call his mom. I'll call his mom. Find out what's going on with him. I know, I'm not going to say that. That's not for me to say. Amen. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Lord to God. All right, then, Apostle Linda.
Praise the Lord, Apostle Linda. Long time no hear from you.
Praise the Lord.
And Apostle Calendar and everybody else on the line. Thank the Lord for this day. And I pray all is well with you and Pastor James and your family. God is great. He's greatly to be praised.
Yes, he is.
My
well.
My oldest niece, she just had a baby at 43, and she had a baby boy, and they had to rush her back. She had the baby on the 29th, but they had to rush her back to the hospital. She came home Saturday. Her blood pressure went sky high. That it would have led to a seizure, but thanks be to God that she got to the hospital on time, Pastor Linda.
Because
they said it wouldn't have looked good. So now they said they found that she had an aneurysm. And like I told her, it's time to serve God. You know, it's time for you to come in and give God your life. And God can do anything but fail. But she got a lot going on right now. Keep Josephine in your prayer. And my sister lost my oldest nephew. You know, he died in the streets a couple of weeks ago. So he got buried, cremated, you know, the other day. So there's a lot going on. But nevertheless, Pastor Brown and I are doing good. And like you said, there's so much going on. But God gets the glory. He spared me to see another birthday, Pastor Linda. I got another digit. Thank you so much. I'm glad to be in the land of the living. Thank you so much. Pastor Calendar put something on my page. But it was a good birthday. Me and my husband had a good time. You know, it's
beautiful
to share with one another. It's beautiful because all this stuff's going on. But God is so good. I just don't have nothing to complain about. I have all to praise God. God gets the glory, like you said. Jesus is on the main line, and we can tell him what we want.
So I just thank
God. It's good to hear your voice. And Pastor and Pastor Calendar, I know I haven't been on. Deacon Frazier wasn't on last night on our line either. So I pray all is well with him.
My God.
You know? But, you know, he's faithful. Yeah, it's strange, you know, because my husband said, where's Deacon? I said, I don't know. He knows we come on every other Monday night, but he wasn't on online last night either. But we pray all is well with him. My God, my God.
He's not even answering his phone.
Oh, wow. I
and
pray he's okay.
Like him.
Yeah. So maybe
I will call his
mom.
Mother.
Yeah.
I will. I'm going to call his mom today when we get off this line. Matter of fact, I'm going to be getting off the line. But I thank God that you had another year, and God bless you with many, many more. And pray the Lord continue to prosper you in all things, even as your soul prospers.
Yes,
Glory be to God. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
As
Hallelujah.
We are prospering, as long as we hold on to Jesus, we are going to prosper spiritually.
Thank you, Lord.
And we're going to prosper naturally. Amen.
Yes, Lord.
Because
Amen.
He gives
Thank
us
God.
That abundant life. Yes. And life includes everything.
Yes.
Because he's
Amen.
A God that takes care of everything. Hallelujah.
Yes, he is. Hallelujah.
So it's a blessing, you know, when we get another year, we get another year
sure
of experience.
Is.
We get another year of experience
yes,
with God.
Yes, Lord.
And
yes,
as we
Lord.
Get
yes,
that
Lord.
Experience, we have more to share. We have more to share
yes,
with
Lord.
The world. We have
yes,
more,
God.
Another notch in our belt, you know.
Another notch, as they say.
It's so wonderful.
Yeah.
It's so wonderful
mm-hmm.
because there's so much more that God will give us in another year.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Yes,
Hallelujah.
That's
and
right.
we can give
Hallelujah.
Our testimonies more. The more, the longer we live, the more we have to give. Amen.
That's right.
So thank God for you all. And, amen. And thank God that you all are doing well. Amen. Praise God for that.
Amen. Praise God. Amen. Praise God for that.
Hallelujah. God bless you and God bless your family and God bless everything that's going on with you all.
Amen. And tell Deacon Frazier, we ask him.
I will. I'm going to find out something and I haven't been on Facebook very much. I very seldom go to Facebook. That's why I missed your birthday. I will contact his mother and I will let you all know what's going on.
Let me know. Text me if you can.
Number as
Amen.
Well.
Yeah.
But when I get
yeah,
off this line, I got I got something to go do right now. But
okay.
I will
but when you
get
can.
Back with
okay.
everybody and let everybody know what's going on.
Hallelujah, I do, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Yes,
pray
Lord.
All is
Thank
well.
You.
I know he was a little disappointed about some things, and I'm gonna find out.
Okay, well, that's good. I'll be praying for over here that all is well.
All right.
I thank the Lord for you. You have a blessed day, you and your husband,
you
Pastor
too.
Calendar,
sure
and his wife and granddaughter. God bless. Love you all.
God bless. All righty. Thank you, God. All righty. Praise God. We love everybody in the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. So, Apostle Calendar, I'm going to have to leave the line. Got something to do, and I'm going to have to leave the line now. Got to get my hubby something to eat. and get myself going to do some things that I have planned for today.
All right. Good to hear Evangelist Campbell. Good to hear Evangelist Brown, too. So if Pastor Brown, I saw you all had a good little crowd a couple of weeks ago at your service. As you know, I watch your stuff on Facebook. But we pray that you continue growing. And we pray that God continue to bless you all. Nobody else don't say anything because I'm on the highway now. We can go ahead and pray us out, and somebody pray us out, and we will see you all back tomorrow. Anyone that can come and support, we'll be here tomorrow with the word of God. So if somebody just pray us out.
All right.
Our most heavenly Father, we thank you for the message that went
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you for all the brothers and sisters that was on this line and heard this message.
Lord. Thank you.
All new believers.
Lord.
God,
Lord.
We pray in the name of Jesus Christ.
Praise
everyone
Lord.
Have a very safe day, a prosperous day.
Yes, God.
Living, and that tomorrow we will rise. We ask God. And pray that we will rise and have another blessed day on tomorrow.
God. Yes,
careful,
Lord. Yes, Lord.
Everyone. And
thank
may
you,
God. May God sustain us. May God,
God.
Protect us.
Thank you, Jesus.
May God deliver direct us. And may God's love be upon us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
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 Thank you,
sir,
Bishop. God bless you all. Work out what you're dealing with, and we'll talk to you all later. I'll call you when I get back home and see what things are going on with prophetess. But I'll bring the message tomorrow, no problem. Part two tomorrow. All right? God bless you all. Stay safe. Stay safe. Stay safe. Everybody that's out here, stay
safe. Praise God.
All right? God bless you all.
So we'll break down that road.
There's a lot of people on the line today, but you know, people just soaking up the word. But so we thank them for their we thank them for their presence anyway.
Hallelujah.
You know, pray that they heard something that would elevate them to another dimension in Him. You know? God bless
praise
you all.
God
bless you. Until tomorrow then. God bless. Bye bye.
God bless. Bye bye.
Amen. God bless you. Love you.
God bless you. Remember, I love you, but God loves you more. Bye-bye.
Amen. Goodbye.